just when you thought it was safe to talk or listen about MMA, here he comes, filling your day, all day. This is Mike Perilla. And this past weekend, we saw two interesting situations in the women's MMA circuit. And I just want to quickly digress and throw my little two cents in there. First of all, the biggest factor of that weekend was Pennington's corner and herself. I know there's a lot of outrage that she was pushed out by her corner, even after she admittedly said she wanted out, only to be finished. And I understand the outrage, because believe me, when I saw that, I was like, oh man, holy shit, they're going to send her back out. Yet, someone who is a student of the game, of the fight game, not just MMA, but K1 boxing, there has been a couple instances in modern combat sports where the corner has had to push the fighter past limits that even the fighter believed was final. The most well-known documented case was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, when Sonny Liston their first fight, Liston rubbed that liniment oil in his face, and Ali was telling Angelo Dundee, "I can't see. Cut my gloves off. I'm done." And Dundee said, "What? This is a championship fight, son. What you talking about?" Dundee then took the ointment from Ali's eyes and put it in his own, and found out what had happened. He then took a gamble and said, "Listen, your eyes are gonna clear. Keep moving. Keep your hands up. Go back out there." And he basically pushed them back into the fight, which Ali went on to win. The second case, same fighter, Muhammad Ali, when he was fighting Joe Frazier. Now, there's both cases to the side in this one fight. There's Joe Frazier's corner, where Frazier is telling his corner, "Send me out. I am good to go." And Frazier's corner is like, no, we're not. You're done. At the same time, this touching duality going on, there's Ali's corner, where Ali's like, "Yo, I'm done." And his corner's like, "No, you're not. You're gonna go back out there. If you have to die, die after the fight." Two sides of the same coin. Does your corner protect you from yourself, or do they push you past the limits you've imposed on yourself? And I believe that is up to the perspective of the person. Me personally, I would love my fighter too much if they told me, "Listen, I'm done." You have to analyze, are they saying this without justification? Or in Pennington's case, she was never in the fight. I believe she was just put there. She was the bum of the month and I'm not trying to disrespect Pennington as a fighter, but I saw no way of her beating Nunes. I saw nothing of her previous fights that made her look like, yeah, she's the next big threat. She's not. There's just nobody in the division. So they feed Nunes these random fights to be like, "Hey, listen, you're going to defend your title and do what you do." The division is paper thin. It's always been paper thin. The only names you can come up with are Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, Miesha Tate, and now Amanda Nunes. Those are the only ones you've seen that really look like they're world elite fighters. Everyone else is subpar, but look, in comparison to them, into those four I've named, and Cyborg, but Cyborg's the 145-pound champion. They had to feed Nunes somebody, and Pennington was the next option on the menu. Her corner, though, knowing this, did themselves no favors by that attempt to whatever. Not even attempt. They did push her out, and she did get finished. They did themselves no favors. But you cannot say that's never happened in combat sports, because it has. Maybe it happens decades ago, and have we grown maybe past that mindset that you should push a fighter to the brink of death? Maybe. Maybe we have. But it is not an unprecedented occurrence. So we cannot deify them or demonize them in a negative light for that. That's what I think. I think the best way to describe how a person should feel, it's at the discretion of the corner and the fighter. I remember my favorite movie, Watchmen. At the end of it, when Ozymandias' plan is revealed that he killed 1 million people to save 1 billion people, the evil of that is hugely seen. Yet the fact that he caused the world to stop at the brink of war and gave them a common enemy to unite them is also in there. When he speaks to Dr. Manhattan, who's the most intelligent, most powerful creature in that comic universe, and asks him, "You understand, don't you?" Manhattan replies the only way an intelligent person can, without condemning or condoning, "I understand." And I think that's how you have to take the Pennington. You have the Pennington situation. You have to look at it and say, "Well, I understand the fight game is brutal. The fight game is ugly. It's kill or be killed." And if you're the fighter and you've said, "This is what I commit my life for," as much as a modern America wants to pretend that's not the case, this harkens back to the gladiator era. People are living out their aggressions, their negativity, their desire to hurt each other through you. You are their chosen avatar because you've put yourself to be that. You now must accept that you are a gladiator. Gladiators fight to the death. It is up to the referee and the corner to protect you. But your mindset is, if I can breathe, walk, and see, I am still there. I feel myself, if I was the corner, I would have stopped the fight even before then, because Pennington was taking a trashing. And there was not any point that she had Nunes in danger. She transitioned good. She switched it up. She was pounding. It was like she was a walking bag. That fight could have been stopped any time in before, you know, the third round, the second round, who knows? There could have been a severe consequences to sending her back out there. They chose to eat that consequence. She chose to trust their judgment. That is on both of them. Yet I do understand the public backlash, and I do know Pennington's corner did not do them and themselves any favors in the MMA community and, you know, how they're viewed by the world at large. But without condemning or condoning, I understand what went down. The next topic I find you got to talk about is Mackenzie Dern. Now, I feel, again, this is my own personal two cents. You know, who am I to really? But if we're going to talk, we're going to talk. And I feel that Dern knows damn well she has no business making 115. She can't do any of that. That girl is thickness. Dern looks thick. She probably walk around like 150, which is sexy. Mackenzie Dern is scrumptious. But I think that is why she should be severely fined and maybe at a suspension. This is like, what, the third time she's missed weight? She's not even trying, really. She's really not. Because she knows she's going to try to jump to 125. And she knows sex sells, and she's very sellable. So it's kind of already seen that she won't really get a harsh punishment for this egregious attempt to just beat up people with weight. That's why her striking was so on point. She knew if anything lands, it's going to connect. And Dominic Cruz, she's 7 pounds, 10 pounds. This is what happens with weight classes, folks. This is why God invented weight classes. You can't fight. You can't fight when everything is even on this high of a level. 2 pounds can get, you know, it's the devil is in the details. And 7 pounds is a lot of details for the devil to work with in the professional sense. And Mackenzie Dern is not trying to, she's not trying to come in as a professional. She's like, "Oh, I tried and it didn't work, but I, you know, and I gave up money," and it, who knows how much money she made in sponsors and other, you know. Yeah, even though she did give her opponent $13,000. But I do feel that Dern is playing the system. The UFC is playing the system. They know, just like with Brock Lesnar, they know when they have a selling point, they're not going to ruin that selling point. They're not going to do anything to tarnish the selling point. Look at Conor McGregor and his actions. I still haven't heard any real repercussions from the UFC for him. There are none. Conor's too big now. Anyone that's seen with a chance to really up the company stock, they're not going to do nothing. And Dern knows it. They knows it. Mackenzie came in there not even trying to make weight, really. She knew it. Like, oh, well, I'll get my money, I'll beat her up, and I'll still get my next fight. And this is modern day MMA. This is when the corporate America is now involved. Conor's out there doing his thing, not really helping the sport. Doesn't matter. He's too big now. He's past the sport. You got these weight cutters. You got, you know, the 145-pound champion, Max Holloway, can't make the 155-pound limit in time for a title fight. The 145 champion can't cut down to 155 in time. What does he walk around at, 170? He's a 170er who's the 145. He only weighs 145 up until... He weighs 145 at the scale. He's the 145 champion of the scale. And then when he gets off and goes fight, he's like 150. He's probably 165. And this is what's happening. This is how it's going to go from now on. All bets are off. If you can make the money, that's all they need to know. And I kind of feel this is when you know MMA is really kind of dying. Everything that we loved about it at some point, or what we respected fighters for. Now you got Colby Covington running his mouth. Colby ain't fighting nobody really. But the welterweight division is thin, and he got the biggest mouth. So now he's fighting Dos Santos for the title. Dos Santos, who'd he really fight? He fight Cerrone and Lawler? Who did Dos Santos fight that he looks like a killer? He didn't fight Thompson. He hasn't fought Woodley, who's a champion. But you know what I mean? He hasn't fought Thompson. He hasn't fought... Give him Darren Till. Oh, my God. Can we give Colby Covington Darren Till? Can we give anyone? No, because everyone... Darren Till. I mean, I'm bringing him up. He weighs 200... He's a light heavyweight fighting at welterweight. He even said it's criminal. But because there's no weigh-ins during the day of the fight, he knows he can get around that. Maybe we should stop messing around and start changing the weigh-ins to the day of the fight. How about we do that? Because unless we make that change, this is just the beginning. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It don't even matter no more. The beginning, this has been going on for years, but now it's just becoming more and more and more noticeable. The weight issue, it's a legal form of cheating. Martial arts is about testing yourself. How the hell are you testing yourself when you know you outweigh your opponent by like 25 pounds a day of fight? Frankie Edgar should have been a bantamweight like 7 years ago. He's the one legitimate case I feel like, oh, he should have cut weight. Look at his body frame. He was fighting 155ers. Dude could have been 135. This weight cutting issue, this money issue, I'm telling you, MMA is... It is what it is, but it feels like a soulless corporate enterprise now more than ever. You can feel the fingers coming in, and they're not lubed up, that's for sure. But what can you do except enjoy the ride? This is MMA All Day.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.